We're going to turn to God's Word now. We're going to turn to Psalm 23. What I'd like us to do this afternoon is to read that psalm together. So the words will be up on the screen so that we can read together these tremendous words which all of us, I guess, would have come across at some time or other. So let's read together, shall we, from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wonder what you think of when I mentioned the Bible character David. What an action-packed life. Brought up in a small, insignificant Judean town, youngest of eight sons, yet as a young man called and appointed by God to be king of Israel. And through his royal line would come God's Messiah, his chosen king, to reign forever and to save humanity from sin. And then maybe we think about those years when he's running away from the present king of Israel, Saul. There's times where he is nearly caught and nearly killed. Perhaps we think of later his great military victories, defeating Goliath and the Philistine army. We might be minded to recall his well-documented fall from grace, as he not only commits adultery with someone else's wife, but seeks to cover it up by putting her husband on the front line of the battlefield in order that he might be killed and out of the way. A man who is repentant, and who prays in Psalm 51 that God would purify me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn your face away from my sins and blot out all my guilt. God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. A tremendous prayer that has been echoed by repentant believers down the ages. Well, we could continue to list what the Bible tells us about this man. It seems that David lived in danger almost every day, facing enemies all around him, and even from within his own army and his own family. He feared for his life. One writer describes David's life as a portrait of success and failure. And yet here is a man who ends up walking close to the Lord. One of whom God says in Acts 13:21, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. A man whose heart was directed towards God, who had a deep desire to follow God's will and do everything God wanted him to do. Well, anyway, a man you would want to book up to give a testimony at your evangelistic event. I would guess, though, that what David is likely to be remembered most for are 6 verses of personal testimony. A psalm that has brought comfort, encouragement, and confidence to Christians down the centuries. Now, we might think that we've heard everything there is to hear about Psalm 23. The well-known preacher Charles Spurgeon opened a sermon on Psalm 23, verse 1, with these words, "I cannot say anything that is new upon this text. I have not even a desire to do so. But if I can remind you of old and precious truths, and also put you in remembrance of sweet experiences which are past, this will not be an unprofitable topic for our meditation." I trust that that will be the experience as we begin to look at this psalm tonight. It testifies to the past, it testifies to the present, it testifies indeed to the future. It's most likely that David wrote it later on in his life during his reign as Israel's king. And therefore he can look back over his life and all that God means to him. But it's much more than a reminisce about times past. Notice how much of it is written in the current tense. And not only that, but it's open-ended. For it takes the psalmist through all the days of my life, on to eternity. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a psalm that can only truly be said by the Christian, because it can only be experienced by the child of God. Every statement is either one of faith or is drawn out of experience. So let's begin this afternoon to travel this journey with David as we focus just our thoughts now on verse 1. First of all, knowing God. Knowing God. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The psalm begins with the big idea. It's the grand statement. What is it? It is the Lord. It's perhaps worth mentioning again that throughout the Old Testament of your Bible, when you see Lord printed in capital letters, what you're seeing is a name that was deemed so holy that it couldn't be uttered or even written. So consequently, another word, another name for God is inserted. However, when you do see that, the Hebrew name for God is Yahweh, and it's used over 6,800 times in the Old Testament, but please do wait till you get home before you check my figures on that. It is the name that God revealed to Moses at the burning bush back in Exodus 3, and it means I am. Exodus 3 verse 13 tells us that Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" This is when Moses is going to be sent to lead the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. "What shall I say to them?" says Moses. Well, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." What do we understand by that name? It expresses so much. Names, of course, have a variety of functions. If nothing else, they're used to identify people. When I first went to my previous church in Sussex, I asked a particular brother in the congregation who certain people were, so that I could learn names and identify people. If I didn't know who it was, I'd just say, "You know, who's that?" However, I began to realize that we had somehow a disproportionate number of men in the church called George. That was until I came to realize that the person keeping me so well informed called everyone he didn't know George. So I didn't succeed very well there. But names identify people. Names are also used to help establish relationships. It's the first thing you do when you meet someone, probably, isn't it? You establish their name and they find out yours. And God makes himself known to those he has made. But names also in ancient times showed something of someone's character. We don't tend, perhaps, to put so much store on the meaning of names now. We're more likely to use a name just because we like it. God's name, I am, or I am who I am, or I will be what I will be, it's the same idea, simply means that God is. He always has been, and he will always be. He has no beginning and no end. He depends on nothing or no one in order to exist or to continue to exist. No one to counsel him or make him what he is. God is the absolute standard of truth and goodness and beauty. Well, let me stop there because I'm aware that I've probably given a totally inadequate explanation of God's name. And it does bring back the memory of having to write a 1,500-word essay on this subject when I was at Bible college. Suffice to say, David is writing about the eternal, covenant-keeping, holy Creator God. He is the great I Am. And the point here in Psalm 23 is that David knows Yahweh. He is confident in the I Am. Which, having considered what the name represents, makes this a bold, perhaps we might even think outrageous, claim that he's making here in these opening words. For he says that this God is his shepherd. We might expect him to describe God as his leader, as his king, his creator, his rock, all those strong things like that. But shepherd. This is much more of an intimate metaphor. It's personal. Indeed, the whole psalm is very personal. You'll notice there's no mention of we or us or they. We only find my or me or I or he or you. It is an overflow of David's personal experience with Almighty God, bearing in mind what we've already said about God. And note that it's not long before his thoughts, as he begins to think about God and express his theology, if you like, of God, that thinking leads him to prayer. Can you see it? Partway through verse 4, he comes to prayer, doesn't he? He suddenly turns this psalm into a prayer, for you are with me. And the whole direction of the psalm changes. You do this. You provide that. David compares his relationship to God with that of a contented sheep with its caring shepherd. What he's saying is, look, I'm happy with him, and therein is my contentment. Does he really know what he's saying? And does he know who he's saying it about? Well, we're told that as a boy and a young man, he was indeed a shepherd. He cared for his father's sheep. We know that this included protecting them from danger, as well as ensuring that they had good pasture in which to feed and grow. He tells King Saul in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. Get a real picture there of something of what he knew his life as a shepherd. It was dangerous. But of course, it wasn't the most noble of occupations. We know that shepherds at that time were often looked down on. In Israel, as in other ancient societies, a shepherd's work was considered the lowest of all jobs. And if a family needed a shepherd, as David's family did, it was always the youngest son who took on the responsibility, hence David doing that work. Shepherds were considered unreliable, even to the point where they were not able to give testimony in court. And yet God, as the shepherd of his sheep, is a recurring theme in the Bible. For example, Isaiah 40, verse 11, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. What a lovely verse that is. Again, in the Old Testament, Zechariah 13, verse 7, speaks of the Messiah as the shepherd who will be struck and the sheep scattered. And Jesus says in the New Testament, in John 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Charles Spurgeon again wrote, what condescension is this, that the infinite Lord assumes towards his people the office and character of a shepherd? It should be the subject of grateful admiration that the great God allows himself to be compared to anything which will set forth his great love and care for his own people. We begin to see what David is saying here. And so here in the psalm, we see about knowing God, but there's something else, and that's trusting God. So here we have this remarkable claim, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall lack nothing. I wonder, would we dare include that in our own testimony? Would we get up and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Are we trusting in that? I may not possess all that I wish for, but I shall not want. Why? Because of that little word in our text, is. Because the Lord is. What would it take to make us content, to satisfy us? Well, we, as God's people, can confidently say this afternoon, the Lord is my shepherd. That's the confidence. It's not a reaching out with some hope that it might happen. This is clear and confident. The Lord is. As the hymn writer puts it, oh, this full and perfect peace. Oh, this transport all divine. In a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. Christian, delight in that fact, that truth, this afternoon, that you are his. You see, there's another small word with a big meaning in this text. It is the word my. He's my shepherd. The great creator God, the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth, the eternal king. In John 10, verse 3, Jesus says of the shepherd, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. How could this possibly be? The answer is only by his grace. Now we must be clear about something here, because not everyone can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because not everyone can say that the Lord is my shepherd. Because that is the first step if we want to be contented. Well, before Psalm 23 comes Psalm 22. Is there no end to my knowledge of the Bible? Well, Psalm 22 is also written by David. It's known as one of the Messianic Psalms. In other words, it's a psalm that points directly forward to Jesus. Of course, that's what the Old Testament does anyway, doesn't it? It points to Jesus. Last Saturday, we were in the car with the grandchildren. We were jigging away to a CD, and the first song went like this. There's a big Bible story. God gets the glory. Gather up under Jesus the King. He is amazing, serving and saving. All the Bible stories lead to him. A-O-A-O-A. There's always got to be one of them. God gets the glory. Jesus the King. A-O-A-O-A. All the Bible stories lead to him. And the Old Testament does just that. As we see God at work through his people, and we see the unfolding of God's salvation story. Anyway, back to Psalm 22. The first verse of that psalm gives us the words that Jesus will much later on cry out from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And here we see the Messiah, the eternal Son of God, forsaken by the Father as he bears our sin on the cross. It is only because of that that we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. John 1, verse 12 and 13. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. And David looks forward in faith to the coming Messiah, Jesus. We look back, don't we, to Calvary, and we see there our salvation secured. And we need to understand that before we can know God as our shepherd, we must see ourselves as lost sheep. Isaiah 53, verse 6 tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We have separated ourselves from God because of our sin, and that needs dealing with. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He took my place so that I could be rescued, so that I could be brought into the sheepfold. When I do that, I know that I am a child of God. I know that I am a sheep in the heavenly sheep pen, and I know that the Lord is my shepherd. What does it mean to say, I shall not want? Well, it means to say, I decide to not desire more than what the Lord my shepherd gives. David is saying that the Lord shepherds him in such a way that he lacks nothing. Now, knowing that doesn't mean that everything always goes well for me, that I will never be in material need, that I will never have problems. Notice later how David goes on to write about the need for his soul to be restored. And what about the walk through the valley? There is evil. There are enemies. It's all here. But without those things, he would not be able to voice his faith in this wonderful way. And so with all God's children. Listen to these words from Psalm 116, verses 1 to 5. Reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible, it goes like this. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Death wrapped its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me. How kind the Lord is. How good he is. So merciful, this God of ours. It's more often in the hard times that we learn more about trusting God than we do in the easy times. And so the song says, I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. We need to cultivate that spirit of assured dependence on our Heavenly Father. Underlining it all, David in Psalm 23 finds all he needs in the Lord his shepherd, and he's confident to be able to express that publicly. Much later, Peter in 2 Peter 1 verse 3 tells us that his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You know, I'm challenged by our text this afternoon, one of the best known perhaps in the Bible, but I'm challenged by that text, finding all I need in God as my shepherd, trusting him, committing to him. Am I trusting the Lord in that way? Am I resting in him? It's not a passive thing. It's not simply an agreement of the mind. It is living it out every day. In his book entitled The Way of Wisdom, Tim Keller writes this: to trust God is to obey him in whatever he says and to submit to his will whatever he sends. Here we are challenged to do this across every arena of our life. That includes our work, leisure, intellectual life, inner thought life and imagination, friendships, health and treatment of our body, marriage or romantic relationships, money and possessions, relationship to church and other Christians, emotional life, and personal identity. All those things and more, to trust God is to obey him in whatever he says, to submit to his will whatever he sends, right across our lives. That's trusting him. And then we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I wonder whether that's really our testimony this afternoon. It should be, and it can be, as we renew our trust in him and see his providence for us, see all that he does in our lives, and to commit to him every area of our lives, all the decisions we have to make, the choices. And as we go on, we rejoice in this wonderful truth of our text. It becomes a living testimony as we put it to work each day. And I trust that as we go through this psalm, that we will begin to see how that works in our daily lives. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you indeed that you are our rock, our fortress. There are so many things that are used in Scripture to help us to understand more of who you are. We thank you for what we experience of your great mercy and love in our lives. Lord, we do want to follow the shepherd. We want to be led by the shepherd. We thank you that you are our provider, our leader, our guide. Father, we just pray that you'll help us to live it out day by day, to be able to testify, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And if, Lord, we can't say that about you this afternoon, we pray that we will understand afresh what it meant for us to be sheep gone astray and how we need to come back to the shepherd in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who laid down his life for the sheep. Lord, we thank you for that great grace. And ask, Lord, that you will teach us afresh from your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing, shall we then? I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home.